afternoon on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and, oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall, the Chief Operating Officer at South Carolina Federal Credit Union, keeping life simplified. Tough Talkin' Troy, welcome back.
Thank you, Jason.
Yes.
I'm back. Like the Terminator.
He's a Terminator.
But I feel more like the Wordinator today.
It's been 6 years. You learn a routine. You learn the way to do things. And Troy, this is probably one of the longer hiatuses you've had. You've been working on something very, very important, though, that we're going to talk about after we go to our guest. You've been working on your PhD, and these are your finals.
Yeah.
I think the question I have and everybody has is, at what point do I have to suffer the weekly habit of referring to you as Dr. Troy Hall?
We'll get to that after we've talked to Christy.
All right, because I can't wait. It's on my Twitter profile. I respect results more than intentions. Like a lot of people, during the recession, I looked at other career channels and opportunities, and PhD programs and additional educational programs were something that I certainly looked into. You've been doing this for a long time. I am very, very much looking forward to hearing about this journey of yours. But it is Friday, which thankfully is the name of the show. Friday just rocks more than other days. And so today, this is the un-webinar. Hey, credit unions, when we get back from the break, we're going to do what Troy and I have always done. We interview cool credit union people, and Troy, we give them, what, about 10 minutes prep time?
Oh, if that, and that's just...
If that,
you know,
exactly.
Well, this one we did because she has a very special situation.
Yes,
being a new mom, you know, we have to...
Well,
yeah, we got to take care. We have to nurture and take care.
I am almost certain that we've done this before. I think we've had a guest that called us while being at home on maternity leave. So that's not new for us. But we're going to go up to the beautiful state of New Hampshire, my second home, New England. We're going to visit with Christy. She's home on maternity leave, and she works for Holy Rosary Credit Union, and they are doing a Relay for Life. We're going to talk to her about that, and then about just that, again, our key signature last year, the power of a local, the things that credit unions do locally every day in your town and in your cities and stuff like that. It keeps the credit union marketplace humming along, and we're going to join her right after this. The Love Shack is in Georgia. He is in Charleston, South Carolina. His name is Troy. My name is Jason. I'm in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And her name is Christy, joining us on the Power Performance. Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you? Yay.
Method from Holy Rosary Credit Union. We love talking about credit unions, but I had not heard about y'all until we started following one another on Twitter. For folks that don't know a whole lot about you, tell us about Holy Rosary Credit Union.
Sure. Well, Holy Rosary Credit Union, often referred to as HRCU, we were founded in 1962 in the basement of Holy Rosary Church. You don't have to be a certain faith to belong, but we are very proud of our roots. We are led by our president and CEO, Brian Hughes. We have over $200 million in assets and over 19,000 members with locations in Rochester, Dover, and Farmington, New Hampshire. We're a very, very local credit union, very community-oriented, whether it be collecting for food pantries or school supply for kids. Most recently, we raised over $16,000 for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's really awesome.
It is.
That's really great from their local area. And you guys just continually keep getting more involved in the community all the time because you are an HRCU crusader.
We are.
And you have this Relay for a Life program that you're doing. So talk a little bit about that. And I think there's a raffle involved with it or something like that too.
There's a raffle and there's much more. We joined Relay for Life last year. It's located in Rochester, New Hampshire, but it's statewide run. We are the HRCU Crusaders. We had over 25 people on our team last year, and we raised over $10,000 for the American Cancer Society.
Yeah, that's great. I saw your picture. Your picture is that picture with the check. I saw that.
Yeah. We're so proud of it. It was our first year sponsoring. They hold an annual event where you have teams walk. They walk for 24 hours, and they collect donations. You can sell food. We sold pizza and soda, and that helped to raise our $10,000. We hold bake sales. We sell popcorn. This year, they actually came up with a great idea. We raffled off the closest parking space to the building to an employee so they could park there for 3 months.
Nice.
That's
and,
great.
And I mean, more than the popcorn, I tell you.
Well, hey, trust me. We know exactly how important parking spots are. When Troy gets his PhD, he already demands a covered parking spot over in South Carolina. Federal Credit Union.
I need the parking spot for the radio show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well,
you
get a very, very nice parking spot when he's Dr.
Yeah,
Troy.
You don't have 3 feet to
know. Well, listen, we love stuff like this. Like I said, last year, the key signature on the show was all about the power of local. One of the other key signatures on our show has been, how do we find the right balance between social media? I obviously found you guys because of social media. I was tweeting about the radio show, which we moved to Friday today, and I just, on a whim, sent a tweet to somebody that I guess that manages your Twitter feed and said, would love to learn more about that. Got a phone number, one phone call led to another. We got a hold of you. I have an email from you at I think it was 11:50. So 1 hour, 10:50, right, 1 hour before this show, we did not give you a whole lot of time. But Troy and I are huge believers in this. There was also a gift card.
Yeah. So one of the raffles that we did is we're raffling off a $50 gift card to one of the local restaurants, and they were great. They actually donated it to us, so we're very appreciative of that. So we hold a raffle for the staff and for our members, and they can purchase tickets, and it will be raffled off next Friday the 13th, when we hold our first bake sale.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. The next week, if you're wondering if Friday the 13th is bad luck, it must be because we'll be back on the air. Troy and myself will be. I think that's awesome. I love local things. I'm involved in local stuff this very weekend. We've got our Christian Athletic sports tournament, big deal here with my son playing basketball, and everyone's driving down to San Antonio. It's like Hoosiers in reverse. Just a lot of fun. The world lives in a local marketplace, and sometimes
Absolutely.
They don't, as we're going to find about Radio Shack. And as I said in my tweet, you guys clearly did local. You've been around since the 60s, so you clearly did local better than Radio Shack. We always love to end the show on kind of a fun question. We all have iPods and iPhones and iPads and whatever, XM radio. What was the last song that you listened to? I mean, you're home on maternity leave.
Yeah, so I have a 9-week-old daughter, so I would have to say the last song I listened to was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Oh, hey, very nice.
This lovely plush pink elephant.
That's so cute.
Hey, we've all been there, man. I'm telling you, buy AA batteries. You will need millions of them before your child leaves for college. Hey, Christy, thank you so much for jumping on again. It is a tradition of our show. We don't give our guests a lot of time to prepare because half the time Troy and I don't even know what we're going to be doing on the show. We enjoy that aspect of the show, sort of the unpredictable, extemporaneous nature of the show. If folks want to find out more about your credit union, what do they do?
They should go to www.hrcu.org.
Christy, thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks,
thank
Christy.
You.
Awesome. Really great. Really great. Yeah. That was awesome. When I realized we were moving the show to Friday, and I thought back when last time we were really doing the show on Friday, I wanted to do something that was kind of challenging. And you and I, this is not the first time you and I have put a whole show together, an interview and stuff like that, the morning of the radio show.
Oh, right. It's all part of, well, especially when you think about an organization and you relate what we do here and relate it to, like, you know, where is there some similarity in what I do in my everyday job? And in many cases, you have sort of an idea of a plan, which we do. We have a book print, and that book print is that we're going to, provide the show. We're going to be half an hour. We're going to ask questions back and forth. We're going to be engaging somewhat in that. We'll include some music, some other things. But you have to respond to what's happening in the marketplace or something that's important that you might want to be able to get out. And that's just the nature of you being flexible in the leadership aspect and knowing when you need to make some modifications to the book print or the blueprint, you know, depending upon how you want to look at it, and say, oh, well, I need to make a modification here because I'll produce a better result. And certainly anytime we can offer a chance to the guests to come in and speak about how they are furthering their business or furthering the connections that they have in the community, then we're doing a great service for everyone. So
I agree. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about local businesses. I cannot think from my childhood a local business that was more local and transformational for me than Radio Shack. And, of course, you've heard the news are going away. If we have time, we're going to talk about that. When we get back from the break, I want to ask you about, you know, you've been – the last time we broadcast together was on December 17th, and here we are on Friday, February 6th. I want to find out about your PhD studies, what's going on with that, and we're going to do all of that right after this. Absolutely right. The very independent Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? We are not doing a sponsor this year because we're going to be doing some very, very interesting things with live online musical performances. The move to Friday is like, you know, Troy, have you ever played chess when you move the pawn? You know, it's like the first move, kind of methodical. Moving the show to Friday is sort of like our first move at Eloquent Online in chess. But listen, if we had to consult somebody about the best way to improve the leadership of our organization, the global leadership of our brand, we would consult my good buddy, Troy Hall. You have been immersed in studies for what I think you described as your PhD finals. Tell us about, you know, where you've been, what you've been doing, and what happens next.
All right. So, yes, global leadership and entrepreneurship is the focus of the PhD work that I'm doing through Regent University out of Virginia Beach. And I completed the coursework on the 23rd of November. So for the last 2.5 years, it was, you know, working through the various studies to sort of prepare myself in that particular discipline in that area. And so then after you complete that hurdle, then the next hurdle is you then take what they call comprehensive finals. And then from the comprehensive finals, then you write a dissertation, you defend the dissertation, and then they make sure that it's printable and it is publishable. And then once they do that, then they confer the title of doctor. So for that process, I then decided that I would take the January test. So I completed 23rd of November, so it was the 16th of January was the test. And the way it works is you receive three questions on that day at the university being proctored in a room, and you do not know what the question is ahead of time. And you have 2 hours from the moment you open the question to when you then finish the response and have to then save it to the disk and gives it back to the monitor, the administrator for the program. And then you take a little break, and then you come back, and they give you the next question, and then you do that, and then you take a break, and then you do the third question. And then the fourth question is a research question. You have 5 days to actually complete that research question and then submit your response. So that was the structure of what the experience was. And so we go there on Friday, and the day before, they had this major electrical outage at the school. And so it was like, oh, and the computers were everywhere. Things were happening. It was like, oh, my gosh, you know, frantic. You know, so because I came a day early because I just wanted to kind of be there. And so they had this little experience going on. And so all of us, I mean, you have to know that, first of all, it's challenging for me. I have tried not to ruin too many brain cells during my lifetime, but I am sure that I have. And the older you get, the harder it is to retain the information. It's like the pores are larger, so information just seeps through it as opposed to, you know, hanging in. So I'm already freaking out over the fact, like, okay, am I going to remember this, and am I going to be able to use it? And so we had that experience. But it actually goes off lickety-split on that day. And so, but I want to share this little message with you about, so for me, with my faith, it was very much an experience. I had a supernatural encounter during my studies when something was revealed to me that all of a sudden became like, oh, that's it. Oh my gosh, that then connects. And so I say to a lot of folks who get this, I go, I had my Matrix moment.
Yep,
I had my moment when you can kind of see in, and all of a sudden it's been revealed. So I had this like Matrix moment, because see, the whole idea for me is this: what memorizing isn't going to help you on these finals. These are comprehensive finals.
Exactly.
You have to be able to relate the information. You've got to, just like we do in business. I mean, somebody doesn't want me to come and recite the definition of an ATM or an online banking or you know, some terminology. They want to say, well, how do you make it work? How is it applicable? How do you connect the dots? And what happened for me was that experience when all of a sudden these dots started to connect, and no longer was I memorizing, but I was actually taking the information and making it applicable. I was being able to connect how this theory related to this theory impacted this. And so from that, I then was able to take the test. And I'm an old school learner, meaning that I write a lot. So I still, you know, I do a lot of technology. So I'm not, this isn't saying, oh, you know, down to the iPad or the tablet. I'm saying I can't write my outline on a tablet or a computer. I have to hand write some things.
You know,
for
what's
me,
so funny about
where
that?
The experience is.
You know what's funny about that? I have done, since we started doing the show, and I do another show here locally, that I've found the most reliable writing instrument, and it is now something that is next to me. I'm holding in my hand right now. The old-fashioned graphite No. 2 pencil. I am writing more stuff down now than ever before, especially
you
during and yeah.
Yeah, it's comfort. There's a comfort for me for doing it.
It is.
And the
absolutely.
And the other thing, I will tell you about this, and then I'll go on more with the experience. But just to backdate that a little bit as to why that's valuable, the cursive aspect is valuable, is because it requires a specific use of your brain that allows you, there's a connection that you make from this ability to write, for me, because that's the way I learned. I think that it will transfer to the computer, and it has successfully, because there are a lot of smart people who actually can do their drafting and everything on the computer. But what's happened is they've made the neural connections at that early age. So like when your son is going through school and he has iPads and no longer books, he's reading off the tablet, off of reading pages to flip the pages. His experience is what will continue to carry him along through, which is, again, why we call this power of performance, is about how you relate your experience and what the person's expectation of the experience. So what really was great is that I didn't have anybody telling me, Troy, handwriting is wrong. Like, you don't do that. That's crazy. You know, so, again, making that work for me. So hand wrote a lot of stuff, prepared for it, went in, I took those tests. So I'm sitting down, and the first thing that happens is as soon as you plug in your – oh, and by the way, you're nameless. They, aside from a number, I get a number.
Wow.
And so I'll tell you a funny little story. So my buddy and I, there were about 15 of us that were taking the test that day. So my buddy Dale and I, and we were in the room, and, you know, we're kind of like, you know, we're the alpha males out in the hallway, you know, bumping our chest, you know, like, yeah, we're going to do good, yeah, but, you know. No, it really wasn't anything like that, but I thought it was funny for radio, so I thought I would do it. But so he comes in, and he gets his number, and he doesn't say anything, and he walks down, and I get my number, and I went, ah, Dale, I'm a 10. My number was 10. He goes, mine's 13. So I was like, I'm already feeling good. I got number 10. What happens? My disc doesn't work anymore, and she has to give me another number.
Oh, good grief.
So, yeah, so I became number 9. So I just want to let you know, I am now known as 9. Okay, as far as all of the records for the entire Regent University, I am now test taker number 9
number
for that
9.
Day.
Yep.
Number 9. And so they tell you, after we complete on that, so Friday I have that test, and I get my information next 5 days, Wednesday by 11:59 Eastern Standard Time, midnight, you better have your stuff in. So I turn my stuff in, and then they tell you, then the wait's on. So they tell you it's 2 weeks. You know, and so what happened is when you're first there and you start, what you hear is this typing. Everybody's going like typing, like tap, 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 tap. In my space, it's crickets.
As you're writing, yeah.
Because I'm writing. There's no tapping, you know?
I've been really intrigued by the process because, like I said, when I found myself kind of coming to the end of what I knew was sort of that, you know, professional speaker era, you know, I was not traveling as much. I did not want to travel as much and was kind of happy to be able to do things from the house. I said, well, you should probably have kind of a fallback plan for part three of your life when it's just you and your wife, and it's sort of that second phase or third phase of your life. And I looked into a lot of this stuff online and University of Phoenix and nursing programs and respiratory therapy and all this kind of stuff. I've been intrigued by this because it seems to me like you've been involved in this since we started doing the radio show. This has not been the easy, you know, 10-week MBA program.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the reason why it does seem like it from an educational journey is because I did my MBA, again, late in life, and then we went right from MBA right to a PhD. And normally, for most folks, there's a break in between those major segments. But for me, you know, I felt led that that's what I needed to do. And based on my background, I was like, well, okay, if you say that's what I need to be doing, then I better be doing it because I don't want to be fighting with you. So I'm doing it. And all right, so I go through the experience, and then the wait goes on. And so I've got like a 2 weeks. They tell me at least 2 weeks that you have to wait. So, and how you get it is you get an email from the administrator who says, okay, so here is your, here's question one. And here's information, and then the final response, whether you passed or not, the second one, the third one, and so forth. So my wife, Vicki, made me promise that when I got the email that I would not open it until we could do it together.
Wow.
So I'm at work and this past week, and I get the email, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, my heart stops for a moment because, here is the dreaded. Because you see now, up until you get the answer, you're living in a veil of I'm still okay. Because I haven't been rated yet. So I'm still assuming everything is good. So you can kind of, you know, it's like a little comfort zone you can kind of be in. Because it's like, yeah, I don't really know the answer yet. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, you're doing great. Yeah, I still don't know the answer yet. Yeah, everything.
Right.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, you'll be good. And then you get the answer, and all of a sudden it's going to tell whether you're good or not. You know, so up until that time, that's your experience. So I call her on the phone, and I say, okay, I got it. And she starts crying. I go, honey, I haven't even read you anything yet. Stop the crying. So she pulled herself together. So I read through the first one, you know, and it's like I read through. And so the experience is you have the professors are grading the examples, but they don't even know who it is. And they don't know whether they are grading it for the first time or whether they're a tiebreaker. And they don't get to talk to one another. So if you have two agreements – then you're done. That's whatever that agreement was. And if they differ, then they have to bring in a third person to say whether or not you pass. So it's either you're passing or you're not passing. And there's levels of passing, but it really doesn't matter to me. Low pass, regular pass, high pass, it's still a pass. We're good. So right. I go down through and I read, and it's like question one, professor one, pass. Professor two, pass. You pass. I go, oh, we passed the first test, you know. And I go down and I get the second one and the third one and the fourth one, and I passed all of the comprehensive exam the first time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could not believe it. For me, it was truly
awesome.
a PTL moment. You know, for me, it was, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was like, yeah. So I immediately start, you know, my communication. I'm trying to text and remember the people that I need to tell, people that have been, in, you know, involved in my life, who've been praying for me, who've been supportive, giving me encouragement, because I just didn't want it to be out on Facebook or out in the social media world until I had a chance to communicate with them. Because although I do understand the need for social media to communicate, I think that it's important that we don't lose sight of communicating the very important information to the people who have been instrumental in your life. So you don't forget that.
It's
a key part of leadership is to remember that. And so I did. I tried to reach out to all those folks. And so I'm telling people. And so I must have told like 100 people. And then some people at work then found out, and they were all like coming up. They were like cheering me. You know, so you can kind of imagine. I was kind of like, if it were a true rock star in my mind, you know, I was being carried down the, you know, I was being carried on the hands of people as I was being passed along, you know, through the concert. Okay, so then that happens, and then later in the afternoon, I get another email from the administrator saying, corrected results. And, yeah, that's it, exactly, what you just did, silence.
Yeah.
And I'm screaming into the phone, you cannot have corrected results. I've already told 100 people. You know, so I'm having this moment.
Lord.
Oh my gosh. And so, and the difference is that, and again, like I said before, it doesn't matter whether it's low pass or high pass for me, it was pass, but she had to apparently to officiate this properly and to give me the official email. She had to move some of my information up a level or two. So I was happy. And so I wrote back to her and I said to her, and I'm just going to say her name's Martha, just so that there's no problems here. I go, Martha, you scared it out of me. I said, when I got this email, but I said, and I know that there are a lot of things, so I just want to let you know, I really appreciate everything you do. I know you got a lot of details.
Is there a graduation ceremony? Is there a moment where you're conferred or awarded that?
Well, yeah. So what happens is that
2 minutes
is. Okay, so what happens now is I now am in the dissertation stage. So now I have to do research, and then I have to defend that research, and then I submit that research to be published and or to be publishable, whether or not it is or not. And
right.
Once it meets that final criteria of being publishable, and there is a letter from the library that says, yes, we have officially received your bound copies ready to go, meaning that it met all the editing criteria, I can be conferred doctor. So we have to wait for that information from them. In the meantime, I am allowed to use the designation ABD, it stands for all but dissertation, except in my world, I have meant it to mean a big deal. So, and I've even thought of petitioning the school and saying we should call it ARBD because it's a really big deal.
That
would be good. Yeah, really big deal. But so that is the process of where I am with that. And so now you will have for the next several months this excruciating opportunity to follow me as I do this research on the dissertation, and I am going to be calling my dissertation chair after we hang up to confirm what it is that I am actually doing to make sure that nothing has changed from our conversations at residency, because the reality is I couldn't work on it. You're not allowed to work on your dissertation until you actually pass the comps. It's take one step at a time, and I had to finish that step.
Well, I'm excited about it. I mean, like I said, it seems like the entirety of the radio program, we've talked about this. One of my ever-present memories of my father was that he went back to college very late in life and got a master's degree. And I remember him showing me. It's not exactly the same as a PhD, but you do have to do like a master's thesis and some comprehensives and stuff like that. And I remember him showing me a question from one of his philosophy exams, and it was, you're in a room with the piano, and there is a cat under the piano. What color is the cat? And I was like, you're paying for this? Just kick the cat out of the way if you want to play the piano. And he's like,
this is very different.
Yeah, you have to expand on this. And I was like, no, I didn't even understand what that meant. Well, listen, we didn't get to it today, but we're just a second into bonus time here. The first time I ever clicked a keyboard that was connected to what we would all consider a computer back in the 1980s occurred at a Radio Shack in Universal City, Texas. And we may have to talk about this next Friday, but
we definitely need it. It'll be time to talk about somebody else. Yeah. We don't have to talk about me again. But
although
it is one of my favorite topics.
Nobody wants to talk about me.
Aside from that, let's talk about Radio Shack.
We really
think
this show. We'll talk about my life. No, seriously, I'm excited about it because, like I said, I thought about it. I thought about a PhD in history or American military studies or whatever. So I think it's great. Hey, listen, folks, this has been the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Despite their generational role in our marketplace, Radio Shack did not leave their audience wanting more. And it's probably fitting that we didn't have time to talk about them on this show today. proof once again that Holy Rosary Credit Union has done local better than Radio Shack. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. We are thrilled to have him back on the air. We are thrilled to be back on Friday, where I honestly believe we belong. It is the best day of the work week. There's a reason I say the work week and not the entire week. Troy, so good to have you back, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Hey, everybody else. Until next we speak, we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
That's all, folks.